Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. Practically every day we hear about a new online scam which has either stolen your credit card number or stolen your social security number from places like even the IRS. Even more common, though, are those email scams which seem personal but are designed to separate you from your money. Now, our mission here is to educate you and protect you. Let's learn more about these scams so you can protect yourself from those who wish to harm you. My guest is Adam K. Levin. He's a consumer advocate with more than 30 years of experience as a recognized expert on identity theft and fraud. And he's also the former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, founder of IDT 911, IDT is Identity Theft 911, and co-founder of Credit.com. Hey, Adam, welcome to the show.
Steve, thanks for inviting me.
You know, personally, I get a lot of email, and especially email spam, I mean, and I don't open anything I don't recognize, but occasionally something catches my eye, especially if it's from someone I know, and I'll open it. You know, it's hard to catch everything. What are the most common email scams and frauds being used today?
Well, at this moment, certainly anything to do with the Ashley Madison disaster is something that's going to be one heck of an email scam, either for spouses who want to find out if their spouse is on the list, for people who want to find out if they thought that their names were deleted and maybe they weren't, as well as for people who want to gawk about the fact that someone is on the list, not to mention employers and other people who want to find out if some of their key executives are on the list or even the military. So that's one. Lottery is another. Email that come from what appears to be the Internal Revenue Service is a biggie at certain times of the year. Also, email involving celebrity sightings can also be Venus flytraps.
What do you mean?
Where they lure you in by, let's say, a famous celebrity has just passed away or there's been a huge scandal and you get an email and it could even look like it's coming from somebody you know. But it isn't. Or when a major retailer is hacked and you get an email that looks like it's from them, it looks like it's in connection with some sale or some particular seasonal thing that they normally do, you can fall for it. And then, of course, another one, an old favorite, unfortunately, of many people, is the catfishing scam.
Yeah, catfishing. What is a catfisher?
Well, a catfisher is someone who represents themselves to be someone they're not, for the purpose of gaining your affections, and then using that as a conduit for either getting money or getting personal identifying information from you that they can use in connection with an identity theft.
Yeah, I saw an article about a mother and daughter team in Colorado that was able to extract $1 million or more out of 300 women around the world pretending to be U.S. military men who just needed a little bit of cash to buy a phone or a plane ticket.
Oh, absolutely. And that's been one that's been happening in different forms run by different organizations over the past few years. In particular, they want to prey on people who are sympathetic toward our forces that are deployed overseas. And it's been very successful on so many different fronts.
Mm. You know, the ridiculous emails from the African prince or minister who needs some money to help him move $3 million into the country. I mean, we all kind of know about that now. We don't respond to that, hopefully, even though those scammers still net millions of dollars from the unsuspecting. But a lot of the scams that we're starting to see are very personal in nature and are following, I guess, to some degree, maybe some of the techniques that some of the people in ISIS are using. They're getting very personal and they're making a case for tugging at heartstrings and the like. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, anything that they can do in order to make you think that they either know you or they understand you is a big selling point for them. And you say, well, how would they even know me? How would they find this out? Well, unfortunately, there have been so many breaches over the past few years. Some people estimate it could be more than 1 billion files. And part of those breaches are email addresses and names, and those email addresses and names are normally associated with some environment, whether it's a government agency that's been hacked, whether it's a retailer that's been hacked, so they can put you into context. That's extremely dangerous. And when you hear sometimes that databases have been breached and somebody says, it's just a name and an email address. I mean, anybody can get a name and email address. The answer is maybe so, but if you get a name and an email address and can put it in context, that's where it becomes problematic for consumers. Another example of one that could be very dangerous is the breach of the Office of Personnel Management. Because not only did they get in there and get all of the things you normally, you know, associate with PII or personal information, but they got the results of investigative reports. And those investigative reports go really deep.
Wow.
They go into you, they go into members of your family, they go into roommates, they go into people that you may have gone to college with, because everyone, you know, is being investigated from every angle to make absolutely sure that there aren't any skeletons in their closet. Mm-hmm. There's even psychological evaluations in there. Now imagine somebody armed with email addresses and names and all of that data, how they could appeal to you on so many different levels.
It makes you want to just turn off the computer and unplug, but that's really just not feasible. So what are some of the ways to fight this personally? What are some of the things to look out for to make sure you're not sucked in by a scam like these?
Yeah, you have to think about what we call the 7 warning flags, especially if it involves catfishing. The first is that they move too fast. You know, you say to yourself, I understand the concept of love at first sight, but I don't think I understand the concept of love at first click. And you could have a situation where you have a few email exchanges with someone, and all of a sudden it's, I have to marry you.
Oh, gotcha.
We have to have children together. Yeah. I can't live without you. You are but the first thought of my day and the last person I think about before I go to sleep at nights. And you really have to think about, is this possible that somebody could really react this way? Then the second clue is if there was called a phantom dater. And that's beware of somebody who never can seem to meet you because, you know, your Romeo or Juliet could turn out to be a Shakespearean drama, one that you're not really interested in.
Some reason they can't ever get it together to meet you in person. There's always some excuse, some reason that it has to stay online.
Yeah, they live abroad,
yeah.
But they're American, or they're American and they had to go abroad because they're involved in a new project, which ultimately they're going to ask you to help them financially.
Right.
Their phone got shut off, their webcam doesn't work, the only thing you're reduced to doing is texting. It just never seems to fit. Beware of that.
That's a person who is always in a state of perpetual emergency. That's another one of them, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's like the fourth thing, which is, and we'll get to the third, and that's, they're all drama kings and queens, and that's, they always have a problem. And then that is, I'm stuck in a hotel. Please help me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has kidnapped my child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in fear for my life. The police are at the door. I need a lawyer. Things like that. If you get something that sounds like a B-movie, or you get the grammatical errors, or weird phrases, or you say to yourself, haven't I seen that phrase somewhere before?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't I read it?
Mm-hmm.
Google the phrase. You may be surprised to see that it shows up in several different pieces of literature, and then you realize that you are in somebody's really, really bad novel, which you don't want to be in.
You know, we don't have time for all 7 of them, but I'd like to talk about the e-card, which may seem romantic, but may seem very dangerous.
Yeah, because you'll get an e-card, and the whole goal is to have you click on the link. And when you click on the link, either you're taken to another website where you're asked for some information. Maybe they're saying, you need to give us this information to sign up so you can receive it. Or worse, it has malware. And once that malware gets into your computer or in your system, and since people oftentimes use work computers, you could put a business in jeopardy. You have to be very careful about that.
Adam, where can people go to find more information to protect themselves?
Come to IDT911.com. We have an entire knowledge section. You can also come to credit.com, where we have enormous amounts of content dedicated to identity theft and things like catfishing. You can also go to the FTC.gov. They have a very impressive site with a lot of information about this.
My guest, Adam Levin, a consumer advocate. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.